What's up, everybody? It's week 11 QB List Podcast. We've got Brian and Mario in the house to break down your start sit decisions for the first seven games of week 11. As always, my co-host here, the waiver wire wizard, Mario. What's happening, man?
Brian, I am doing well. The waiver wire wizard is well. I mean, week 11, double digits, it feels surreal. There's just a few short weeks left in the regular fantasy season. I want to say four.
It's coming up close. It's coming up close. And we have bye weeks in just about every one of the weeks, too. Oh, it's going to be rough. Folks, if you need every win to get in, this is where it counts right here. We've got to get those decisions, make them right, and, of course, clean it up on the waiver wire, which you probably already did from Tuesday's episode.
Yes.
But look at you, a resident Eagles fan, going to knock it back on Thursday night, get the win or the loss, and then you get to rest all Sunday, focus on nothing but fantasy.
Oh, my goodness. And focus nothing but my stress on DJ Moore. We'll get to him. He's in this slate of games.
All righty. Well, you want to kick it off?
Let's kick it off. I mean, where do we begin? In Philadelphia. Oh, great segue you had earlier. Yes, in the battle of the NFC East. Oh my goodness. What a game this will be. We'll start with the quarterbacks, as we always do. QB list. Philadelphia allows the fourth fewest points to the position, while I don't have the notes on Washington, so that means they're neither top 10 in any direction. For Jaden versus Jalen. Fun one. Jaden has fallen off a little bit. Two of his last four games are actually single-digit performances, including quarterback 19 over the last 4 weeks. So, you don't love to see that, and it's a tough matchup. So I'm kind of expecting a lower output, but you still have to start him, right? He's just been your guy far too often. And on the other side, the exact opposite. Jalen has been a quarterback surefire, 29-plus in each of his last three games.
Dude, he's been crushing it. Absolutely crushing it. It doesn't help when, this team right now, they're throwing six less times per game than they have over the last 2 years, just from this prolific offense. But they're getting it done on the ground. When you go out and pay money to Saquon Barkley, he's single-handedly shutting down some of these games. And Jalen Hurts, let me rattle off some numbers for you. So going back, we got 2-1-3-2. What would you guess those numbers represent for Jalen Hurts?
For Jalen Hurts, knowing Jalen Hurts, that's his turnovers.
No, that's his rushing touchdowns. Yes, folks. Yes, folks. We have 8 rushing touchdowns over the last 4 weeks. It's absolutely insane. One interception, too, in the last 4 weeks. It's been good. Starting off 4 picks in the first 3 weeks, he's only had 1 since then. So this guy is a tale of not even 2 halves. It took him 3 weeks to get things rolling. They've been boosting ever since the bye week. So Washington, they have been a defense that kind of shows up here or there, but this is one I have no problem starting Jalen Hurts in.
Jalen Hurts could be the quarterback one this week, and I love to see that. Moving over to running backs, RB list. Philadelphia allows the second fewest points to the position. Brian Robinson has missed the last couple of weeks. Early reports, is he healthy? Is he not?
Yeah, I'm just seeing that Brian Robinson was just taken off of the injury report as a sleeper notification just a few minutes ago.
Oh, here we go.
So, yeah, hamstring, he will be playing Thursday night. I'm starting up my running backs here. I'm so excited. Brian Robinson has been a top 10 guy for you when he's playing. Philadelphia's tough against the run, but I have to think that he's going to go out there and go get a lot of work, especially at the goal line, because that's what Cliff Kingsbury does.
That's what Cliff Kingsbury does. It's a divisional matchup. Anything can happen. I like that. And then on the other side, no hesitation on Saquon. I know his touchdowns have been a little bit hampered by the quarterback stealing the ball, but you know he's going to get absolute insane volume, Saquon, so you start him up.
Yeah, it's wild. Since the bye week, the last 5 weeks, he has 2 rushing touchdowns. That's it.
Wow.
8 have gone. And he's still just absolutely dominating. I guess he's been on a 24, 25, and 32 in 3 of those 5 weeks. So not fully dominant performances. So maybe those touchdowns really are kind of, pulling away from the elite Saquon Barkley. But as far as rushing game, he looks amazing out there.
The volume's going to always be through the roof. So that's why you take him. Wide receivers. Philadelphia has allowed the 10th fewest points to wide receiver. So when I look at that room, I say Terry, yes. I say everybody else, no.
No. Yeah, I'm even fading Zach Ertz. I know we like to kind of play away from
him.
I guess it is. We can call it the revenge game. Sure.
Revenge game. You have to. I'm just saying it's circled on both of their calendars. I have to assume. You want a Super Bowl in Philadelphia?
I'm fading both the tight ends in this matchup.
You're a Dallas Goedert slanderist. I don't understand it.
This is true. This is true.
And then, I mean, for the wide receivers on Philadelphia, AJ Brown, a star, a stud. You start him if he's healthy. And some questions around his health. And then Devonta Smith, he had another dud the last week. Kind of surprising. Dallas Goedert got a touchdown, taken away from Smith. So, but Smith, I mean, he's usually a very consistent wide receiver too. I think he only has two duds on the year. So I start him every single week.
It was an odd one. Only three targets, the two catches, 14 yards. Very minimal day for Devonta Smith, but he's too talented. He is just too talented. This offense is going to continue to hum. Washington, let him throw a little bit. Come on, Commanders. Do us a favor.
Yes. What's the line in this game?
This is a juicy one for a Thursday night. It's 48.5 points. Philadelphia's favored by 3.5 right now. Who do you have?
3.5. Oh, 3.5 is child's play. We'll take it.
No bias there, folks, because I'm going to follow with it. I think the Eagles take care of business.
Love that. At home.
At home.
Next up, we have another NFC showdown. This time, we're heading up north. The Packers going to Chicago. Chicago fresh off of firing their offensive coordinator, Shane Waldron, I want to say. Things cannot get worse for this offense.
No, they're getting better. Are you kidding me? He's gone.
But Eberflus is still there. I don't know. Well, getting ahead of ourselves, we start with quarterbacks. Chicago allows the fewest points to quarterbacks. They actually surpassed Miami, so good for them. Love has been all over the place. I thought we loved Love, but he has just been an absolute mess this season. But I cannot double negative. I always have to bet on a Green Bay quarterback going to Chicago. So just by those metrics alone, Love is a quarterback one this week.
He's kind of a fringe QB1 for me just because Chicago's been shutting it down. And Jordan Love, he's not afraid to throw the interceptions. So I'm not saying he can't go in there and just absolutely torch them and end up winning through the air with his arm, but he might do it with a few interceptions as well. So
yes.
Tempered expectations, I guess, is my
tempered for him. I'm just like, I'm a little thought exercise. I'm closing my eyes. It's a cold day in Chicago, and I just see that G on the side of a helmet, and I see that person throw 4 touchdowns, 400 yards. And it's like, yes, that happens twice a year, every year. So
I think I'd rather.
Oh, okay. Rather
play Justin Herbert against Cincinnati than Jordan Love.
I think Jordan Love's a top 5 play for me this week.
I think I'd rather play Russell Wilson against Baltimore.
My gosh.
And I don't know if people are going to take that as that's negative to Jordan Love. I've got Herbert and Wilson both as top 10 plays this week. So I
have Love as a top 5.
I've got Love at 8 right now. So he's sandwiched between those two guys. I think they're just great streams. But Caleb Williams, we're not playing. That's for damn sure.
Caleb Williams, no. Green Bay allows the 9th fewest, tough matchup. And I need to see something from this new offensive coordinator. And that's going to be a theme for most of the players in Chicago. But I'm not trusting Caleb Williams. He must be dropped in most leagues you're in. Excuse me.
Caleb Williams in a super flex. Caleb Williams or Anthony Richardson?
Anthony Richardson, because at least he can like do a rushing touchdown. Or he'll throw. We've seen touchdowns come from Anthony Richardson. I can't picture Caleb Williams putting his arms in the air for an offensive touchdown.
Caleb Williams.
Okay.
Or Trey Lance against Houston if he gets the start.
Is Trey Lance playing?
If
Trey Lance gets a start. Because he can do a dump off to CeeDee Lamb, who will take it 80 yards to the house.
I mean, DJ Moore, I mean, he does that. That's a specialty for him in that offense is green passes.
Oh, my gosh. It depends on that Dallas game, because if it's in Dallas, then I have to account for the sun.
No, no, I hear they're putting up. Oh, no, it's a night game. It's a night game. Monday night. It's a
night game. So okay.
Be all right.
Okay. Perfect.
No, no, some sneaking in there. The running backs, though, for these teams, we got Josh Jacobs and DeAndre Swift. You have to feel good about Josh Jacobs here going up against the Bears defense. As good as they are, we can beat them on the ground. They've been letting up. I just moved the numbers. I don't have them in front of me. 18th against the running back. So 21 points a game to the running back position.
Love that. And Josh Jacobs has been consistent overall. He's had double digits every single week since week 5. So to me, I have him as a high, high running back too.
And he has 4 touchdowns on the year. For his volume, that is ridiculous. Folks, he's going to score more touchdowns. He should have an above average touchdowns the rest of the season because it's absolutely insane that he only has 4 freaking touchdowns all season.
It's insanity. He should have more, but that's when Love, he hogs all the touchdowns and all the interceptions. Swift? Yes to Swift, I'll say. He's probably the only Bear I am starting this week.
Yes. Actually, he is one of 2 Bears that I'm willing to play. But yes, I'm right there with you.
Like the kicker.
Almost. He's another obscure position we'll get to in just a second. But yeah, I'm cool playing Swift. He is the only skill player that I'm willing to play here. I guess that's an accurate statement.
Oh my gosh. Listen, I'm excited for you to talk about the Comet, but we have to get the wide receivers first. Wide receivers, Green Bay side, Chicago allows the second fewest to wide receiver. And this wide receiver room is just a merry-go-round. I mean, Dobbs, I thought he was going to lead the pack. They have the bye week in week 10, of course. I thought Dobbs was going to lead the pack week 9. He just had so much good data going into week 9. He put up the absolute dud. I think he was a 3rd or 4th wide receiver on that team. Everyone is just unreliable, if you ask me. Reed is probably the safest. He was the one that looked the best week 9, I believe. But he had duds leading up to week 9. So I just don't know what to think.
Is it Jaden Reed and out?
Oh, is he?
No. I mean, I'm sorry, out as in like you're getting out of this wide receiver room, like both these wide receiver rooms. Cause yeah, I think I'd play Jaden Reed.
Yeah.
And then Dobbs is a floor play, but like a low end wide receiver 3 for me.
Yeah. Low end wide receiver 3, I think, is the move. Like I said, I'm looking at it again because I was so enamored by this week 9 matchup. Go like the previous weeks for Dobbs, 17. 9-7 points, and then he puts up that 3-point stinker.
And then the rest of them, you have Watson, Wicks, Moore, and Odunze are all boom or bust players. I guarantee you one of them will have a touchdown. One of the 4 of them will have some sort of big play, a touchdown, something like that. But your chances of being disappointed with Moore, Allen, Odunze, Watson, and Wicks are higher than you want.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying now, and I agree. It's Reed, and that's probably it. DJ Moore, I told you, I think, off-air, but I had dropped him. Yeah, I had to drop him for a replacement kicker with Washington's kicker going out last minute. So that's where we're at with DJ Moore.
Is he still sitting there? Could you pick him up tomorrow if you wanted?
Brian, I hate to admit, but I picked him up.
I
picked him back up because, listen, what happened, I have Brock Bowers, who was on bye last week, so I needed a replacement tight end. I'm not going to – two kickers I can roster. I can stomach. 2 tight ends, I can't stomach. So I dropped my replacement tight end, Evan Engram, and we picked up Moore again, especially with these news.
Oh, dude, it's so hard. I'm holding more tight ends than I want to in my leagues. Like most leagues, I have 2. Because you have those guys like Mark Andrews, Kyle Pitts, Tucker Kraft, and you kind of have somebody else. I have Brock Bowers and Tucker Kraft in a league. I can't drop Kraft just to give him up. He feels free, but nobody's willing to trade for him. You know, everybody has kind of like 3/4 of a tight end, 2 different tight ends that aren't quite a full. It's rough out there, folks.
Just rambling about that. Evan Engram was a similar boat. Like when I picked him up, it was because someone tried to trade him and then like he couldn't. So he's just like, all right, screw it. I'll drop him. And I did the same thing. I was like, hey guy. And everyone's like, no, you're going to drop him anyways. It's like, all right, fine. I am.
Yeah. Evan Engram with Mac Jones coming back to town. I think that might be an option for you at this point. Yeah. In this game, I am willing to play Tucker Kraft. I think he's a viable option here. And Cole Kmet, if you checked out the streaming I am not a Cole Kmet guy. I've sat on this podcast and said, ew. He does it 4 to 5 times a season. He's done it twice. I think this is number 3. I think if we get anything out of him, it's going to be this week. So he has made the stream of the week. If you've checked out the article over there on football.pitcherlist.com, ooh, one of those streaming articles, the tight end one, will have Cole Kmet, a little tidbit about him. Who do you have winning this game? It's a 40.5 point over under. Green Bay's favored by 5.5.
Green Bay will win by double digits.
Double digits, huh?
Yeah, I don't understand. Like, Green Bay is looking like a potential Super Bowl team, and the Chicago Bears can't. They just lost to the Patriots, who are like a bottom 3 team in the NFL.
So Green Bay was my NFC pick preseason, and it's held pretty strong through this, but I feel like there's some chinks in the armor. There's some teams I think that are built that they can beat Green Bay. So I think it's going to be playoff matches, but I don't know. Give me their win this one, though, for sure. I'm right there with
for
you.
For sure. Double digits.
Talk about double digits. Let's get into this game. It's 2-8 Jags going to the 8-1 Lions.
Oh,
47
my God.
Point over under. All by the Lions here, folks.
That's just
they
the
are
Lions
favored
side,
by
yeah.
14 points.
Oh,
I think this is the highest of the season.
That's too many points.
It's a lot of points.
That's a lot of points, but let's break down the matchup. We've already gotten word that no Trevor Lawrence out again, so we're going to get the Mac Attack Jones, Big Mac Jones.
Return of the Yikes. Mac.
Whoa. Return of the Mac. Da, 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 da. Okay. Everybody takes a huge hit with Mac Jones, and we're starting with quarterbacks. You don't start Mac Jones under any circumstance.
Question. I mean, instead of going position by position, we're going to go team by team here. Name the Jacksonville player you are willing to start.
Who's their kicker? I couldn't even tell you their kicker's name.
Little. Cam Little, I believe.
Cam Little? Cam Little's out. I mean, no. Detroit allows the 5th fewest points to running back. We talk about the room is a mess. Bigsby's a little banged up. And ETN, I'm telling you folks, after the bye week, they're on bye next week. After the bye week, ETN will take over, but not this week. Detroit allows the 4th fewest points to wide receiver. Excellent matchup, but we saw what Brian Thomas Jr. did last week with Mac Jones. I think you could start him as a wide receiver 3, Brian Thomas Jr.
Yeah, you're putting him in there as a wide receiver 3. I think he has potential to bust a big play and give you a decent wide receiver day or give you 3 points.
Or 2 points.
Yeah. I wanted to save this game because we're going to get into it, but Brian Thomas Jr.
Let's hear it.
Or MVS off the waiver wire.
Oh my gosh, MVS. 2 touchdowns. Wait,
that was your choice or that was your
That's my through? Choice. That is wow. my choice. MVS. Marquez Valdez Scantling.
I don't know if I could do it. I don't know if I could do it. What about Ricky Pearsall? You picked up Ricky Pearsall off the
Okay, waivers. Ricky Pearsall. You know what? After consideration, Pearsall, Thomas, MVS. MVS is startable if you're gambling.
DJ Moore or Brian Thomas Jr.?
It's got to be Brian Thomas Jr. I don't know. I guess DJ Moore, you could trick yourself into thinking that it's like new OC. Things are different. But the body language is so bad in Chicago.
And I'll tell you what, I don't know if you know who the new play caller is. I'm spacing on the name right now, but he was the guy that took over play calling position for the Panthers last year, the final 6 games, the ones that gave us no inspiration.
I was going to ask, was there any inspiration in those games?
I mean, again, it's Carolina. He was working with what he had, so maybe you give that to him. But I just
Carolina's on a win streak now. Like, Bears might be worse than Carolina.
Oh man, David Tepper's excited hearing that. He's gonna be a new fan of the show with that soundbite.
Oh my gosh.
I don't know. I still have faith in Caleb Williams. I think the talent's there. I think they just need to get the right personnel behind that team. But yeah, Brian Thomas Jr., and I'm okay putting Evan Engram out there at tight end just because it is what it is. What do you have? 8 targets this past week. That's still doable with the tight end position. 6 catches, 40 yards. Yeah, I can handle that.
You take that for tight end. Detroit.
Detroit.
Jacksonville. allows their they allow the most points in all three of these. It's a clean sweep. Allow the third most points to quarterback, fifth most points to running back, sixth most points to wide receiver.
Do you think Goff got it out of his system?
Listen, oh my gosh, Goff. Oh, here's something crazy. Goff threw five. That's good. I don't know how that didn't lead the show. Jared Goff threw five interceptions last week, and it wasn't his worst game over the last 2 weeks. So
that's pretty wild.
That's insanity. Minus 10 points from just throwing the ball away, and still, it was better than 2 weeks ago. So
I still can't believe they won.
I can't believe they won. They got Houston got robbed, and I think they're gonna. Unless, listen, is the AFC South gonna take justice here? The football gods gonna with Jackson? I'm just saying, 14 is a lot of points.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's quite a bit. It's hard to bet on plus 14 or minus 14.
Yeah, it's impossible if you ask me. But for Jared Goff, I have him as a high two. I would look elsewhere in 12-man leagues, despite the really good matchup. Because you also have to think, if they get ahead early, you know they love just running the ball, eating up clock. How much work is Goff going to see?
And Sam Darnold, I mean, granted, it's Sam Darnold versus Jared Goff, so you have to have that conversation. But he put up 9 points last week against Jacksonville, so... I don't really know if there's any, I don't have any analysis on that. I guess I'm just pointing it out.
For running backs, like I said, a lot of the fifth most points, both guys are running back ones. I of course always have Montgomery over Gibbs, but credit to Gibbs, who has officially passed Montgomery on the season.
You know what? We're going to get a sponsorship for this show. We're going to spend every dime we have, and I want to get Jahmyr Gibbs on the show.
And I'd love
we're
going to
do the start sit so we can tell him, hey, man, you're great. You're amazing. But he's amazing. Ranked above you.
I mean, I'm sure he'd understand. Like I mean, they're Sonic and Knuckles. They understand. They got each other's back.
All right. One's on the cover of the game. One's on the back. All righty. Wide receivers, Amon-Ra. You got to play him. He hasn't been what you drafted him to be quite this year. It has been a little disappointing overall, but it still doesn't mean you're going to bench him for whatever reason. Jameson Williams, though, that's where the question begins. Are you willing to roll him out there in this juicy matchup?
I might like Brian Thomas Jr. over Jameson Williams if we're playing that game.
I'd play that game.
Okay, because Jameson Williams, listen, he's already so boom or bust. And how has Goff looked these last couple of weeks? Poorly. This could be a game where they do one of those. I could see them opening the game. You know, they get a touchback. So, 14:52 on the clock. First play of the game. Play action. Goff uncorks it to Jameson Williams for a 70-yard touchdown. And it's electric. But otherwise, I don't see Jameson Williams getting a catch this game.
Jameson Williams or Tank Dell against Dallas?
Maybe Nico Tank Dell. Yeah, Nico should be back. I would still probably take Tank Dell because he's just going to get involved. I just don't know if Jameson Williams gets involved.
Quentin Johnston against Cincinnati or Jameson Wilson?
I think Quentin Johnston, because at least you have a 50-50 chance of being the guy that gets a touchdown, which I think is higher than Williams. Williams is truly a slot machine.
But he's like out of that 49-51 chance at a touchdown, though. You know, that big playability.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, he's boomer bust play for you. I assess your lineup, check out what you need. If you needed a big score, throw him out there. You know, anything can happen in this. But if you need a safer play, also kind of dabble around what else you have. Because obviously you haven't been leaning on him this year. He's just cut off his suspension, week before last. So, Sam Laporta, would you rather play him or Evan Engram?
Sam Laporta, we saw him finally get involved last week, so I'm thinking maybe this is a good sign of things to come. I think that they're just trying to figure things out, and I think this is not to disrespect Jacksonville, but if you were going to just try some different things, try to get your tight end involved, it feels like this is the game to do it. Feels like you have wiggle room for error in this matchup.
Yeah, Laporta's got a touchdown in three of his last five, last three games, six targets. I'd be okay pivoting. I guess I see him closer to 12 than I do one this week. But at the same time, the matchup's pretty juicy, 14 point over. Maybe I'm just a little biased there. Lions, I'm taking the points.
You're taking the points? I think I'd pick in Jacksonville. 14 is just too many points.
It's moved up from 13 to 14, too. That's the funny thing.
Oh, my God.
While the line stayed put at 47 over under.
Oh, that's goodness. So disrespectful.
2-7 Raiders heading to South Beach. It's the 3-6 Dolphins, a 44-point over under. Miami's favored by 7. Tyreek dealing with a torn ligament in his wrist.
It's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, because, I mean, that means we will not get Tyreek Hill that you paid for at all this season. First game, he gave us wide receiver 4 position, finished 7 catches, 130 yards, and a touchdown. Since then, he's had 1 touchdown, as it was last week, on a 16-yard performance. The only correlation I see when I'm, like, digging through the numbers here is he was detained week 1. He has not been detained since then. So do I call the cops and say maybe I smelled a little something funny in his bag on Sunday?
For his sake, of course. For his
for his sake. For his career. For his career.
Oh, my gosh. Again, this player was ranked number 1 in the top 100 NFL players in the offseason.
2 touchdowns.
Insane. 2 touchdowns. And like you said, his first touchdown since week 1 came last week. Let's look down. Let's break down. Gardner Minshew, I believe, has been confirmed as the starter for Las Vegas. Miami allows the second fewest points to a quarterback. Minshew's best game of the season, 15 points.
It's not good, Bob. It's not good.
He's out. Super flexible, maybe. Other side, Las Vegas allows the 9th most points to a quarterback. Tua's averaging 15 points a game in games he started and finished. Just a little bit of a trend between him and Minshew. It's a good matchup, but Tua, I guess if we're playing that, like, you know, who would you rather start in Superflex? It would probably be Tua, but I'm still looking elsewhere in 12 mans.
Yeah, Tua's like, he's closer to a quarterback 2 than he is a quarterback 1. He's right on that fringe play.
Yeah, I agree with that.
I'd play him right around the same likes of a Drake May, a Jameis Winston, Patrick Mahomes. They're kind of right in that area as well.
Don't hate that. Running backs. Madison, he got a couple stinkers before the bye, but they're fresh off the bye. He has 2 double-digit finishes in his last 4, but the other 2 are pretty poor. But I still think he's the guy there. We talked about, White's not coming to take his job. So, to me, he is, a lower-end running back, too. Very good in the flex, but I think he's startable.
Think I wanna. I was trending in his direction as we were approaching the bye week. I was talking about him possibly being somebody to a great fill in for all these bye weeks we're coming onto, but I don't know. I guess if I'm putting him out there, I'm playing him as a low end running back 3. But I just don't like the matchup, the team. It's gross.
It is all gross. But listen, some people are desperate. On the other side, Vegas allows the 9th most points to running back. Achan is the wide receiver 1. We talk about Hill's not getting any work. Spoiler, Waddle is not getting a drop. Achan's getting everything in this offense. He is far and away the most startable player in this team. And Mostert has been disappointing. I'm moved off of Mostert. I dropped him in one of the few places I had shares of him.
Yeah, Mostert, it's ugly at this point. They said it was game script. That was the situation. 0 touches, 3 targets through the air. I guess the moral of this story is Jalen Wright. If you have Achan, get him on your bench. If you are a winning team and you have bench spots, Jalen Wright is a player I want to own.
Yeah, he's a premium handcuff. Maybe a tick below the Algiers, but maybe in the same conversation as the Algiers. Wide receivers going to Vegas. Miami allows the 6th fewest points to wide receiver. Makes sense because they allow few points to quarterbacks. Myers, this is the only guy I'm starting here, and even that's wide receiver 3 at that.
Yeah, he's definitely he's a mid 3 for me, right around wide receiver 30. I would play him over Waddle. I do have him ranked several spots above Waddle.
Waddle, great segue. Waddle. If I don't like DJ Moore, I have more faith in DJ Moore than Waddle. I would do more over Waddle. I think Waddle, I've just fully moved on from. I'm okay dropping him for some of these lottery tickets on the waiver, which wasn't a great waiver wire week this past week. But, as we're getting into handcuff season, I don't even think Waddle is Hill's handcuff. We know Hill's dealing with an injury. And let's say Hill misses time. I think Achan's the handcuff. I think Achan's the only guy this offense goes through.
Yeah, I'm right there with you on that. Achan freaking crushing it as far as receiving work goes. Was it last week? He had 5 catches, 8 catches, 6 catches the last 3 games. He's caught every single one of them.
And he catches every single one of them. Like, he's the one getting catchable balls. So Achan, very good. Hill, you just mentioned it. He caught his first pass. He caught his first touchdown since week one. And Odell almost slammed him to the ground. They didn't practice that celebration that well.
Yeah, I saw that kind of banged him up a little bit. Hopefully he should be good to go out there. Tight ends. I'm okay with both of them. Obviously, Brock Bowers should be obviously our Brock top five. Boy. Yeah, rest of season. Jonnu Smith, for whatever reason, he has finally got involved in this offense. Too. He wasn't an acquisition this offseason, so it makes little sense. It took him time to get, you know, on the run of things, to also being shaken up through things off. But over the last several weeks, he's been averaging over 5 targets a game. It's pretty awesome. 45, 46, 20, 96 yards over the last 4 weeks. A touchdown in there. I don't mind
it. That's good volume. That's a good one. That is a good one because we talked about who's on deep buys this week. The Cardinals. So, like, there's a tight end you need a filler for. The Bucks, Kate Otten's been the only guy catching passes over there as of late. So, like, John, it was a good fill-in.
Who do you have winning this game?
What was the line? Miami fresh off a win?
Yeah, Miami 7 points.
Seven? Oh, that's a good line. Good for you, Vegas, which is crazy because you're playing in this game. You'd think you'd give like an easier line to pick.
It started at 7.5. It's moved down to 7.
It's moved down to 7? Maybe Miami. But I kind of wanted to take Vegas.
I think I've got Miami. I think they take care of business here.
This is a game they have to win. Miami has to win this if they want to even entertain playoff aspirations.
Yeah, they're 3-6. They're competing with teams like the Bengals and the Colts for that last like playoff spot.
We'll get to the Colts.
Oh, yeah. Give me just a second here, folks. Hold on to your lunch. Yeah, give me Dolphins. 4-5 Rams taking on the 3-7 Patriots in Foxborough. It's a 43.5 point over under. LA is favored by 4.5. Let's look at some quarterbacks here. We've got Stafford. We've got May. That May train.
Love the May train. Okay, starting with the Rams quarterback, Stafford. New England allows the 7th fewest points to quarterback. Stafford's been good in 2 of his last 4. Meh to pretty bad in the other 2. Feels like a dice roll in this poor matchup. You know, like, I think I'd start him in a 12-man league, but I'm also super open to see what's available on the waiver wire. Like, you talked about Russell Wilson. I'd do over him.
Yeah, Stafford, single quarterback, you're pivoting this week. There's so many other options that look a lot juicier that give you some more upside than him. I have no problem pivoting there. Drake May, I have him at QB 15 right now. So kind of depending on your situation, depending on what the quarterback waiver wire looks like, I don't mind playing him out there. Would you rather do Jameis Winston or Drake May?
Drake May. I'm over famous Jameis. Give me your guy first. I'll get my stats.
I was going to say, you said Russell Wilson over him, right?
I would do Russell Wilson over him.
Justin Herbert.
Justin Herbert. I think I would do over him as well.
Yeah, I'd crush that one.
Yeah. But I like May over some guy. Like May, since week 6, Drake May is quarterback 10 on the season. Like, I think that gets a little bit lost because he obviously didn't play for the first half of the season, right? So, he's just so far behind numbers wise, but since he really stepped into the role, quarterback 10 since week 6. So I like him a lot. Rest of schedule this week, I like him, but we're talking about, like, I think Bo Nix and him are like such neck and neck, like fantasy guys where it's like, it feels weird and almost gross starting either one of them, but they're both fantasy producers.
I've got Bo Nix, QB 12 this week.
Oh, like that. Okay, so then we have running backs. New England allows the 7th most points to running back. You love that for Kyren, who is a bona fide set and forget, gets a touchdown in more games than he doesn't. Love him. On the other side, Stevenson, he's always a phony to me. He'll never not be a phony. He has a risk of putting super low single-digit numbers, but he's more often than not, he's quality. He almost feels like the Jameson Williams of running backs. But running backs, you just don't have the luxury of there being a dozen of them. So I think that you start him and you can start him, but he's a very risky running back too for me.
Yeah, that's how it works for him. Just don't watch the game. Put him in your lineup, but just don't watch the game.
I'm telling you,
it'll make you feel better. Yeah, Kyren definitely. He's a set it and forget it. Blake Corum, again, one of those handcuffs you want to own, especially if that is your owner. Wide receivers on the Rams side, Puka Nacua, Cooper Kupp. I don't think your team's good enough that you're benching those two players. They are Studley Dudleys.
Yes, Puka, solid in two of his last three, and the other one he got DQ'd for, you know, in the stinker. And then Cooper Kupp has been more consistent in these last three games. He's been closer to double digits in each of the three. So you start both of them, like you said, unless you have a really luxury of riches. Puka is a higher upside, but I'd consider Kupp more consistent because he's not going to fight anybody.
Right. On the other side, I don't know.
Good. Here we go. I got some stats for the other side.
Yeah, let's spark it up a little bit.
Yeah, let's find something to be excited about. The Rams allowed the seventh most points to wide receivers. That's okay. A plus.
Fire's growing. Last
week, the best wide receiver for New England was Polk with one catch for 2 yards and a touchdown.
All right, the fire's dwindling.
And he was the best guy. So don't start any of these guys. It's a great matchup, but they're all absolute gambles. I think DeMario Douglas has the most upside, but they have stone hands across the board. Like I said, there's a very high chance the random guy is the one that gets in the touchdown. It's a worse wide receiver room than the Green Bay Packers in all instances, where like all the guys are less talented. The person throwing the ball is less talented.
Well, yeah, they just score touchdowns in Green Bay opposed to this team. Douglas, I do like Douglas as far as a PPR machine. I think you could play him as like a flex wide receiver 3, wide receiver 4. Booty, I will put out. He was out there for, I believe, every single route or every single snap out there for the passing attempt. He's being more involved in that way. I just don't know if we're really going to see somebody emerge from the wide receiver core.
I don't think so.
Because Jalen Polk, that's the guy I would have put my money on as the rookie, you know, the top five in the second round. So it's kind of where I'm looking.
Hey, he got the touchdown.
He did. Yeah, he's the bigger one. Hunter Henry, we've talked about some pivot options. You need to move on from McBride or Otten. Hunter, he's out there in a good majority of the leagues. I don't mind it. He will get peppered with targets for sure. So PPR, I really like him.
I like him a lot. Any other notes? Who wins? Yeah, what's the line? How many are the Rams favored by?
4.5 to the Rams.
Oh, I think the Rams win it, but New England's kind of been on a little sneaky tear. They're also going against really bad teams. Like Jacksonville whooped the Patriots.
Yeah, I've got no problem taking the Rams here in this one. I know the Patriots pulled it off last week, but it's Matt Eberflus and the Bears. We sat here on the show and talked about, like, I feel like that was a good chance of that happening. So,
yeah, the Bears are so bad.
I think the Patriots are going to ride out their high this game. They got 3 wins right now. They're sitting pretty good. They're about to break their over-under. I think it was 4.5 games.
Yeah, or I was going to say they must be close to Vegas' number for them.
Give me a Rams, and I think they take care of business in this one.
I love it.
Next game, we got 2 left. Browns 2-7, Saints 3-7. That's a Jameis revenge tour for you folks right there. 44.5 point over Jameis under. Saints are famous. One famous Jameis coming to town. No Marshawn Lattimore. Jameis has been throwing the ball deeper than most quarterbacks as of the last month. So I'm pumped. I'm excited. I'm playing Jameis as a fringe QB1, more on the QB2 side, but in Superflex, I'm excited to play him.
In Superflex, I'm excited. In single quarterback, I would take Bo Nix, Drake May. I would take some names over him. Russell Wilson, but I'm kind of over the famous Jameis hype. But I like his wide receivers. We'll get to that in a second. And then on the other side, Carr. The Carr was humming last week. Quarterback 6 finish. But I think this is going to be a bumpier road between this defense and, I mean, there's a couple. Like Olave is almost certainly out with the whole concussion. The interim bump, I think, is more of a one and done than a real lasting thing. So I think the Carr, I might start Jameis. I don't even think I would. I think I might start Carr over Jameis.
That's how I feel about these guys. Jameis over Carr. I've got him 5 spots ahead of him. I like Stafford. I've got Stafford like 1 spot ahead of Derek Carr this week.
Okay. Either way, I don't really like either of these guys.
Yeah, no. Running backs, though, we do like them. You can run on the Saints, so despite Nick Chubb. And Nick Chubb, this will be week. This will be 4 weeks in. So, yep. Like, that's usually the ramp-up time legs for back. ACL.
Yep. New Orleans allows the third most points to running backs. Will Chubb get it done? I mean, this is fresh off a bye. Great matchup. I think he's got tons of upside. So even if you just throw him in as a flex, I really like him this week.
Same. Yeah, I'm willing to put him out there.
And then the other side, Cleveland has the eighth fewest points to running back, but Alvin Kamara is running back two on the season. So I don't know if you have the riches to sit the running back two on the season.
It's wild. He has two games where he hasn't received at least five targets, and it's usually closer to the 8, 9, 11 target range that he's at. He is a running back, but he is... Dude, what a career for Alvin Kamara. Like, is he... He's not Hall of Fame conversation, is he?
If the team was better, I think he would be. But
Fantasy Hall of Fame, I think you...
Fantasy Hall of Fame, he's a first rounder. He's a first ballot.
Need to do. Start doing a Fantasy Hall of Fame show. Listen, we'll do inductions for stuff like that.
We need some off-season material.
All right. We'll talk to the boss. We'll get us some awards.
We'll talk to the producer, the intern. Yeah. They flip-flop every week. Wide receivers. So before the bye, I got some fun things about Tillman. Tillman's finishes over the last 3 weeks. Again, like he had a bye last week. So week 9... wide receiver 13, week 8, wide receiver 3, week 7, wide receiver 16. Have we found this year's Amon-Ra St. Brown?
Oh, well. Oh, I don't know about that. It's his remaining schedule. We've got Pittsburgh, Denver, Pittsburgh again, Kansas City, Miami, Baltimore. Like, there's some rough teams he's playing. I'm excited. I like to have him on my team.
I'm excited.
You're not confidently playing him as a wide receiver one or wide receiver two. Like, it's Jameis' wide receiver, right?
I think I'm confident. Listen, I will say this. I'd say that if he's your wide receiver one, that's not as great, although he's been putting up wide receiver one numbers. But if he's your wide receiver two, I would feel great. I would be ecstatic. Like, listen, if I'm someone where it's like, hey, Stephon Diggs went down for the season. Godwin, Evans, like, I feel excellent slotting in Tillman in that position, and I don't think you need to play with a waiver anymore. I think Tillman is your set and forget solution for those wide receiver woes.
I do think, yeah, he's probably one of the best wide receiver pickups we've had off the waiver wire. I do have him at wide receiver 25 in my rankings so far this week. So I will say, as far as waiver wire pickups, Juwan Jennings, I would play over him this week. I do have him just one spot higher.
One spot? Ooh, okay. Yeah, that's a toss-up then. I like Tillman. So he's the wide receiver one here. And then opposite of him, Elijah should see targets, but I like more or less than Tillman.
A little more, a little less. Yeah, Elijah Moore, dude. 9 targets, 12 targets, 6 targets in the last 3 weeks. He's done a whole lot of nothing with it. Under 160 yards cumulatively across those 3 weeks with all that. So I think it's Tillman and I'm out, both receiving rooms. MVS, we talked about on the waiver wire show. I'm not going to play him. I will not tell anybody to play him. If you want to take the chance, you do it. You do it. You do it on your own like ability. That's
MVS had 2 touchdowns and 100 yards. And so it comes as no surprise that he led the wide receivers in targets. What may come as a surprise is that he had 3 targets that led all wide receivers. And Cleveland, plus side, Cleveland allows the third most points to wide receivers. That's all the catches you need is 3.
I can't do it. I won't do it. I won't, personally. But if you do it, reach out to us. Let us know. Show us your team, show us your lineup. I'm interested to see what position you were put into. Okay, I guess let's play the game then. Let's play it.
Let's play the game.
Nasty, dirty, raunchy. Playing Quentin Johnston or MVS?
I have to pause this much and think about that. I think that's a good comparison.
I'll take Quentin Johnston just because of the matchup against Cincinnati. I don't know if I said that. They are playing Cincinnati.
That's a good matchup. But, I mean, Cleveland allows the third most points to wide receiver.
That's true, too. But I feel like some of that could be skewed just because of like the Deshaun Watson games. Like defense was playing a little bit harder then. Like they, at least they're moving the ball a little bit more in Cleveland.
I guess. Let's see. Maybe I might pick MVS in that situation, but I don't hate either of them. That's like we have them right next to each other.
Christian Watson against Chicago or MVS?
MVS.
Mike Williams against Baltimore or MVS?
Oh, my gosh. I think MVS. I think the ball's going to go his way more. He's the one, the theoretic one on this team.
DJ Moore or MVS?
I think MVS. Yeah, so I just picked up DJ Moore, and I probably could have picked up MVS.
Oh, man. I don't know. I think...
You think DJ Moore? Do you want to do Michael Pittman or MVS?
I have him ranked above it, but it's just like when you look at it, who else is going to catch the ball?
Who else?
I don't know. I'm going to fade MVS myself this week. I just can't personally do it.
Okay.
Tight ends, though. Njoku.
Yeah. Njoku, we love. I mean, he's an absolute just hog when it comes to targets. And then on the other side, I mean, which guy you can't go. There's so many tight ends here. Taysom's probably the one, but we've seen all of them get their day.
Yeah, tight end 5 against Carolina 2 weeks ago. Last week, tight end 17, 2 targets, 4 rushing attempts. He had 5 and 5 the week prior, 4 and 4 the week before that. So, I mean, it is a new play caller. Or no, not a new play caller, just a new coach. Still Clint Kubiak is calling the plays, so hopefully it doesn't change too much. But I'm willing to roll Taysom Hill out there. I'm just not too excited about it. But I guess you never are before the 3 touchdown games that he usually drops on you.
Nope. And then he just does it. And then he just drops them like it's hot.
Who do you have winning that game?
You said New Orleans by 1?
By 1.
I think I take Cleveland. I think the interim bumps over.
Jameis is going to be eating W's and crawdads for dinner. Oh, yeah. He's going to go win it down there in the Dirty South.
You're right about the Jameis revenge game, too. How did I miss that?
Last game we have on today's episode for you, folks. It's the 4-6 Colts. They're going to play the Jets, the 3-7 Jets. They're out of the playoffs, Jets. The 44 over under. Jets are favored by 4. The line has moved from 3.5 to 4. What's news has changed? Let me go through my papers here. Ah, Anthony Richardson. It's time to come out of timeout. He's learned his lesson. He's fixed his cardio, whatever we're saying. But Joe Flacco, get back on the bench, Father Time. Take your nap. It's time for the big guy.
Oh, my gosh. Yes. Yeah, so let's dive into the quarterbacks. Fresh off Tony Rich, the Jets allow the 8th fewest points to quarterback. Flacco magic is dead. Long live Tony Rich. The Colts, snip, snap, snip, snap. We can't decide what we want to do. I mean, I have some notes about what he does to Jonathan Taylor, but I need to the Colts fan perspective. It's like Tony Rich, will that spark some life? Do we start Tony Rich?
I think it's a super flex conversation, I think, is whether you start him or not. Would you play him or Caleb Williams against Green Bay?
Oh, I would pick him over Caleb Williams.
I think there's a higher ceiling with him. Would you rather do Mac Jones against Detroit or Anthony Richardson?
Tony Rich. Tony Rich. Mac Jones, I have no faith in. I could picture Tony Rich getting a touchdown, either himself or like a 90-yard pass. To somebody.
Trey Lance, if he plays against Houston.
I don't think it's Trey Lance. I think it's Tony Rich. I think we're scraping, though. Like, we're scraping. Like, if you're in this situation, you're in trouble.
This is super flex. We're digging there. As far as Aaron Rodgers, though, I'll put him out there. I've got him like a middle 2 this week. I have him around the likes of Stafford, Darnold, Drake May, Jameis Winston.
That's not bad. I think that's pretty fair where he's at. But all that to say, I don't think I like either of these quarterbacks. On the flip side, Indy allows the 8th most points, which is fun. We got a couple pair of 8s here. Indy allows the 8th most points. Aaron Rodgers had 4 points last week. Huge dud. Dud is an understatement. But it was truly his first of the season. It's a good matchup. I have to think he's going to bounce back because this team needs to show life. They're still in the hunt. So I think I would have Aaron Rodgers as a startable in 12-man league. I think he's like a mid one.
Oh, yeah. I've got him like I said, just kind of on that cusp of the two. Running backs, though, this is the one place you can beat the Jets is through the running game. Jonathan Taylor has been getting one of the highest rush share or team rush share workloads through the season at this point. So he's just an easy play. And then Breece Hall on the other side. Has it been the Breece Hall that you drafted? Not at all.
No.
Colts, you can run the ball on. You can move it. So I expect pretty good days from both these running backs. What about you?
Yeah, Jonathan Taylor. So fun stats about him in games with Joe Flacco as a quarterback. He has 50 carries for 220 yards and no rushing touchdowns. In games with Tony Riches, who's cornerback, he has 76 carries for 396 yards and 5 rushing touchdowns. So you have to think, according to the data, this is good for Jonathan Taylor, Tony Rich back there. So a big start on him. He's a running back one for me.
It's like a Breece Lamar, Hall, Derrick Henry light.
Yes, exactly that. They have to respect Tony Rich and his legs. So, you know, people all thought for a little bit, oh, Flacco, you get the dump offs. Turns out it didn't work. You got no touchdowns. For Breece Hall, Breece Hall finished with less points than Tyrone Tracy last week. So you drafted the wrong New York running back in the first round. Okay,
you say that like Tracy's bad. Come on, Tracy's, both good. We like
Tracy's a stud. We do like them both. But seriously, like if I had to think about Breece Hall, he is just a mid running back too that you're forced to start every week. You love the matchup here. You're praying for upside. But like I said, you're almost held hostage by this running back too.
Yeah, you really are. The wide receiver room, 100%. Braylon Allen, one of the best handcuffs you can have. We've talked about those throughout the show. He is another one. Wide receiver for the Jets, Garrett Wilson, Davante Adams, a down week last week. Of course, they're going to have that when Aaron Rodgers had a down week, but I'm putting him right back in my lineup. Colts are a team you can score on through the air.
Yeah, they're both first-round talents. I mean, this is the same. I'm going to just echo the thing about Hall, but they're both first-round talents. They should both show up. They should each get 15 points, so I'm starting them both. On the other side, the Jets allow the fewest points to wide receiver. Tony Rich got the ball in his hands. Are we up on Downs?
I'm not going to say I'm up on him, but I'm playing him in this game.
Are we down on Downs?
I'm playing him as a
we're not up, we're down.
Yeah, it's hard with him, definitely. But I will also point out he had his best game of the season with Anthony Richardson as the quarterback. So,
okay.
We're not throwing it out altogether. I do have him right around. I've got him at wide receiver 26 this week. It's a tough matchup, I do believe he'll see some work. He has every opportunity to break a big play. Colts have several talented wide receivers. Pittman's dealing with the back injury. He might not play in this one, but if he does, it's good for the Colts. And if not, you still have Alec Pierce and A.D. Mitchell, who's played a lot better since the beginning of the season. Alec Pierce is there to stretch the field a lot, spread them around. You've got these giant trees of tight ends there for the Colts as well to kind of help, keep you honest in the middle of the field. So Josh Downs is the worst place you can put despite the tough matchup.
I agree. I like Downs. I have him as like a three with some good upside. And then Pittman, I didn't realize he had the injury because I had in my notes that Pittman is Pitt boy. Because I'm over him. But if he's injured.
Looks like he did practice in full. We're getting the Wednesday report. I just see that rolling through. So he did practice in full
last week. Pip-Boy.
Maybe he was boycotting. He wanted his fellow Anthony Richardson back out there. He says, if he doesn't play, I don't play. But we got him back.
You know what, though? That's better vibes in Chicago. Because, DJ Moore walked off the field.
This is true. I do think it's not so much of those issues that they're having in Indy. Tight ends, we do not play Colts tight ends. They don't throw to the tight end position. They don't use the tight end. I'm sure we're going to see a tight end touchdown from the Colts just because. But, we're not playing those.
I like to think that that's maybe what drove you to become our tight end expert and, want to do the tight end articles. Because as a Colts fan, you just had nothing. You had never experienced tight end before. And you're like, let me see what I can do for the people.
Quite the opposite. I grew up thinking tight end was elite. I had Dallas Clark. For the
Dallas
Colts
Clark
in our multi Super Bowl runs that they had. Dallas Clark was the man. Like seeing him out there And then, I mean, they had several others. They had Jack Doyle for a while.
Jack Doyle?
Yep. Yeah, wasn't the sexiest tight end, but good Lord, Andrew Luck made him fly.
Mo Alley Cox, was that one, or is he wide receiver?
He's still there. He's still on the team, man.
I know some Colts tight ends.
Yeah, 31 years old, 6'5", 267. He's a big fella.
Teach that.
That's it. That's it. Seven games just wrapped up.
Jets win it.
Oh, true. No. Yep. Indy wins it. Put Aaron Rodgers in the retirement home. Send that clown home.
I think the Jets need to win games. And this is like, you have to win this one. We talked about with Miami. Like, if you want to stay in the hunt, you have to win this one.
Yeah, I don't necessarily want the Colts in the hunt. I want them competing for a draft pick this year. But for morale, I think it would be good for the team, for the players.
That's true.
So I'm rooting for a Colts win this week.
The backup quarterback bump. That's why they're switching so often. It's like, listen, if we say this guy is a starter till the end of the year, and then we pull him for the next guy, what a rise he'll get for the ego.
That's 3D chess right there.
That's good coaching. That's coaching. That's just chess. We call it 3D chess.
Well, we got to get out of here, folks. Clearly, yep. We got to go work on some of our analogies or jokes. They're lacking. We're just exploding out the wazoo with all the football knowledge we have here and all the football knowledge that you can find all over our website at football.pitcherlist.com, where you can get endless advice from all of our amazing writers, whether it be start, sit, waiver wire stuff, or any of the information you find over there on the Discord. Yes, we've got a Discord for the QB list. Hop on there, get a little P+ subscription, and we'll get you set up for that. Mario, where can the folks find you?
Oh, where can't they find me? I'm everywhere, but I'm mostly here 3 days a week. New episodes drop Thursday, which you're listening to now, Friday, and Tuesday. That's where we do the waiver wires and the fun little recaps of that we do. You'll find me on Twitter at Mario Adamo Jr. And finally, come check out football.pitcherlist.com. Join our Discord. Check out our articles. Our What We Saws drop Monday morning after the weekend. And oh my goodness, what a wealth of knowledge that is just available at your fingertips. So those are some of my favorite articles. And Brian, I mean, we know you do the tight end article. Shout out Dallas Clark, friend of the program. But, you know, where else can I find you?
Hey, you can find me. It's mainly all over here, folks. It's on the QB list. That's where my articles are. If you're looking for YouTube stuff, it's the Fantasy Football Advice Network is where you can find me there. But until next time, we're getting out of here. Let's go!
Ace.